Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Panel to Screen or Page to Screen. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how you doing today?
I am walking without rhythm as to not attract the worm.
Oh my gosh. that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing a spoiler review of that movie. You know that movie? The movie that everyone's talking about. The one where Aquaman is best friends with Space Jesus, who's the son of Poe Dameron, and they're going after Skarsgård. I refuse to call him Eric. I want to call him Skarsgård, because Skarsgård is an awesome name.
Wait, Oscar Isaac was in the one that you watched?
Oh,
mine was Kyle MacLachlan.
No. Okay, this is a major mistake. No, Bell, no, this is Dune 2021.
Oh, I thought you meant Dune 1976.
Why on earth? When we announced this week that we were making changes to the show, we never promised a return of the rose-colored retrospective, my friend.
It came out in 84, not 76. Yeah, no. I'm kidding, but I did watch both.
Okay. Because, you know. So, all right, this is good. We need to start off with this. I think this is where we need to start. Okay, Dune. So I found out about this movie relatively recently. I was shocked by completely taken back by the scope of it and the beauty of it that was kind of on display in the trailers. Not to mention the cast of like heavy hitters and like, you know, Hollywood celebrities. I mean, blockbuster stars that we had kind of lined up for this project. Everyone was saying this was about to be the next, like, this is the new Lord of the Rings. This is the new Star Wars. This is the new thing. This is the franchise. This is the one to watch. And I was hyped, man. I went into this knowing nothing of Dune. I never read the books. I knew that there were giant worms in, and I was pretty sure there was a lot of sand. And yeah, that was my knowledge going in. Now that's me. I think it's good that we clarify like what our, you know, knowledge of Dune is going into this movie, because I think it's going to be relevant in how we review it. Bell, what did you know of Dune prior to this movie?
Well, I saw the David Lynch 1984 Dune years ago, and not too long ago, like when I started hearing about Dune, you know, when it was coming out, before it had come out, I think it was maybe like, I don't know, 6 months last year or something like that, I decided to watch Dune again. I have not read the books. I know, nerd card revoked, all that kind of stuff. But I've, you know, read a lot about the Dune lore and like watched YouTube videos on it and things like that. And I like this whole universe, I guess you could say, Frank Herbert's little thing that he's built here.
I'm curious though, like when did you get like sucked into the Dune universe?
I mean, you know, I wish I could remember when I first watched the David Lynch. I probably watched the David Lynch Dune in high school.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I really like David Lynch movies, and I'd heard of Dune. I was like, yeah, Dune, Frank Herbert. It's a book. Haven't read it because I was reading Star Wars books and, like you do.
right.
And so like, you know, I wanted cheap pop sci-fi, I guess. And I didn't really get into like the harder sci-fi, reading until later on. But, I'd heard of Dune, right? Because it was a classic, and seen the film back then. And so, you know, I read what I could back in high school about it. There wasn't much available. And then when I recently did the rewatch, I kind of like went through and reminded myself about all that kind of stuff. I was like, oh yeah, okay. So like, you know, here's the timeline and here's this stuff. And like, here are these things and here are these concepts and all this kind of stuff. So I've refamiliarized myself with it probably like last year.
Okay. All right. So you've got kind of this background knowledge of it. You've experienced the story before. As I understand it, the original film was very exposition heavy, unlike this one. Just kidding. It was very exposition heavy. And so like you really, what do you call it? It's one of those kind of movies, as I understand it, the original, where you either love it or you hate it. Is that fair?
Yeah, I could see that. And fans of David Lynch and fans of Dune probably hate it. And in fact, David Lynch hates it. He filmed 12 hours of footage. And he went into this telling the studio, you cannot make this one movie. You cannot make this one movie. And the studio was like, well, we are. How much stuff did you film? He's like, I have 12 hours of footage.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, you need to cut it down to below 3 hours. And so he was furious with them. The whole process was just a nightmare. And he wanted to take his name off of it, but the studio wouldn't let him because they wanted his name recognition on the film, you know, to help boost the popularity for it and stuff like that.
Right.
So I like it. I think it's interesting. Lynch took a lot of liberties with the source material. There's a lot of stuff in there that, and I had this discussion after I watched the new Dune with some friends of mine who've read the books. Where this one is closer to the books than Lynch's, but there's a lot of liberties that he took. I like it because I think it's cool. I mean, Sting is Fade Rotha. I mean, come on, like that's just amazing. you have Kyle MacLachlan as Paul Atreides. You have the guy from Beer Fest who plays the father of the German guys in Beer Fest.
Yeah, okay.
As Duke Leo Atreides.
Uh huh.
You have the Mentat for the Harkonnens. He's a guy that you'd recognize. Angelica Houston's in there. People from Blade Runner in there. Like it's just, you know, your classic cast of you know, 80s.
Yeah. Stars. Like, I know this is so like, you know, how this one has all of the big, you know, the big ticket actors and kind of the mega stars on it. So did that one for the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's the thing. And they were relying on kind of the celebrity to sell the film. Like, and that seems to be the case here as well. I just have questions. All right. So let me just get this out of the way. I'm going to go ahead and tip the bean can here. I did not care for Dune.
Really?
I did not care for it.
Interesting.
It insists upon itself.
Like, explain. Give me examples.
It insists upon itself, Bell.
Insist what?
I'm just kidding. I'm just doing the I did not care for the Godfather thing from Family Guy.
Oh, man, I'm mad I didn't pick up on that. I don't remember that.
That's as far as I recall anyway. I look, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I mean, this is a beautiful film, man. Like the cinematography is incredible. And like, that's awesome. But the thing is, beautiful cinematography isn't as much of a spectacle to sell tickets these days or like to justify in my mind. Like I think there's a lot of that. Okay. This is beautiful. This is a very well thought out world. This movie is a world building movie. The cast is outstanding. The acting is incredible. The story. I mean, I do not care for the story. Like I had a hard time investing. Like what I found through my watching of this, the thing that hurt this movie, I think, to me the most is that everybody hyped it up to be something that it's not. This is not the new Lord of the Rings. This is not the new Star Wars.
Technically, you could argue that
it's Game of Thrones in space. That's what this is. This is Game of Thrones in space.
No. This is the precursor to all those things. Like you don't understand how much sci-fi.
No, I get it, Bell. I've seen Casablanca too. No, I get it. Like this is. It is the story that inspired all these other stories and like they all have roots back to Dune. That's fine, but that doesn't make Dune a movie worthy product.
It's a very hard story to make into a movie, which is what I'm really glad.
Arguably Star Wars did it quite well. Like, you know what I mean? Like
Star Wars didn't come from a book, right? Like that was written as a film.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like Dune inspired all of these kind of great filmmakers and great storytellers and that sort of thing. And you see it kind of played out in other properties and kind of some inspiration there, a lot of inspiration there. But at the same time, like Dune does not belong in movie form. I think that's the big takeaway, is it's like, it's impossible to do. Like, I'm sitting here watching this like, man, you know, you really, this would make an amazing HBO show. Like, do this exact same cast, like, or not even HBO, I mean, Stars, put it on anything. Like, do this as a television show and you got yourself a hit. Like, spend a little bit more time on the characters. Give us a little bit more time to actually invest in these people. Because I only care about these people in so much as I see Thanos training the hero, and I see Aquaman, and then I'm disappointed that Drax and Aquaman never get a chance to fight, which was like, I thought that was going to happen. I mean, you know, Skarsgård was menacing and everything else. And like, you know, you got Poe Dameron up here, who's, you know, like awesome dad, and you got witch mom. And then you got Zendaya, who's like constantly like popping up every 5 seconds, by the way, I with no lines. She got paid for this movie. I know she's going to do like, I would imagine a lot more in the sequel, but I was thinking like Zendaya got a good deal here. She had like one day of shooting and then she was out for this film. I was thinking, yeah, the entire time, though, like there's a sketch that SNL did 2 weeks ago where Keenan is like a security guard or something like that, who's put under some sort of trance by like a magician, and it goes horribly, horribly wrong. And part of like his trance is that he's envisioning going on a date with Zendaya or something like that, or Zendaya. And he constantly is like screaming out, "Zendaya!" as part of it. And so every single time she popped up on the screen, I just yelled that out. I'm like, anyway, sorry.
You say Dune is bad, yet you watch SNL.
SNL is occasionally entertaining. No, look, Dune, it was like, again, the acting is incredible. Like, there's so many components here of a good film. I think the problem is that you've got those components attached to a bad franchise. I said it, okay? Like, at me. I'm not even on Twitter. At me. Come on. Like,
have you seen any of Denis Villeneuve's or Villeneuve's other movies?
I have not. Are they also beautiful?
Yeah, I mean, like, have you seen Blade Runner?
No. But I've heard good things.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, you got to watch Blade Runner before you watch Blade Runner 2049. Blade Runner 2049 is also beautiful. It's like, maybe it's just, this movie's just not for you. Maybe, I don't know.
I would argue this movie's not made for most people, because like,
well, the box office receipts would disagree with you.
No, because the marketing is fantastic. That's what I'm saying. The thing that hurts this movie more than anything else is that it sets it up to be something that it is not. And so I have a feeling that a lot of people saw this movie and a lot of people kind of walked out of it probably bored to tears. I mean, I know critically it's being celebrated. That's great. But I just think from a broader standpoint, you know, again, we got a chance to see, you know, all of these kind of characters that we know and love from other properties, or rather all these actors and actresses that we know and love from other properties be on stage, you know, chew up all the scenery together. And that's great. But like the story, does anybody care about this kid? Does anybody care about this kid?
Well, 91% of the people who watched it, they said it was good. And you know, it's 83% tomato meter. I don't know.
I've heard that 50% of statistics are made up, and the other is composed of 20% that you just made up, and 30%.
I'm reading this straight off the Rotten Tomatoes website. Okay,
Rotten Tomato, as you know, man, Rotten Tomatoes is not a trustworthy like review kit. Like, you get people that bomb movies, and you get people that like stack movies on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right, but this isn't a movie where people would do that.
I beg to differ, man. This is definitely a movie where every single person I've expressed, like, I didn't care for it. They're like, have you read the books? And I'm like, if reading the books is a prerequisite to like the movie, it's a bad movie. And again, this is not a bad movie. It's actually very well put together, but I just didn't care about it. I did not like, this franchise does not seem to lend itself to movie form.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. Yes. And it's really hard to make a film, with such a vast history and mythology and things like that without just loading it up with exposition or things like that, which is what the first movie did. But
But Game of Thrones was able to pull it off in a series form. Because
yeah, look
what you do.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it was fantastic up until the end. But the point is that for years, it dominated streaming and television. And I mean, like, that's the thing, though. I would argue that one of the things that helped Game of Thrones establish its universe in that format is that you had these weekly and year-long breaks in between the storytelling where people who were interested started digging deep. They got deep into the lore on their own, much like you did, Bell, when you first saw the first film. You went out and you found, you know, videos and everything else. And you kind of, you got really interested in this very thought out world, a beautiful world, you know, with all of these different factions and geopolitical situations going on, I guess, universal political situations going on, and characters and resources. And you wanted to learn more, but a movie doesn't give you a chance to pause and be like, okay, wait, are you Arrakis? Are you Atreides? Is the planet Arrakis? Wait, is the planet Dune? What's Dune? Like, you know, you're like sitting here and they're hitting you with all these names for like 2.5 hours.
Wait, you didn't pick up that Arrakis was Dune?
No, I did. My point is that...
I was about to be like, we're not having this conversation anymore. I can't trust you further.
No, my point is I'm listing all the names of things I can remember because there's a ton of things they said that I can't remember. Like, Skarsgård, what was his family called?
The Harkonnens.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Harkonnens. Yes. That household known name, the Harkonnens.
There's a dude named Duncan Idaho. And like, I mean, like, those are normal names. Paul, that's a normal name.
Right. No, Paul's. Leo. Yeah, no, that's fine. And Duncan, by the way, is a fantastic, fantastic.
And then you have
name.
The also well-known name that everybody uses all the time, the Bene Gesserit and the Kwisatz Haderach. I mean, like, how do you not know these things?
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're helping me.
Shai-Hulud, the name of the sandworms on planet Arrakis, also called Dune.
Right. So wait, do they, because that's the thing. They had a term for Paul that was like his Messiah name, but then they also had another term for a giant worm that they all worshipped.
Yeah, Shai-Hulud is the mythical giant. I mean, they're all the same.
I love this. You are just proving my point. But yes, thank you.
All of this was described in the movie. Actually, like
I know it was. That's I don't know. You're right. It's not like they didn't describe it. They did describe it, but it's so much information jam packed in such a short amount of time. Look, maybe I'm stupid, but I would argue that a lot of people are stupid. Okay, like
I wouldn't say you're stupid. I would just say. That I don't know. I think the same thing applies what you were talking about with Game of Thrones and like being interested in this kind of stuff and then like going and diving into the books.
Yeah.
I don't see how this doesn't apply to that because you come out of this and you say, okay, that was really cool and really beautiful, but I want to know more about these Harkonnens and stuff because I didn't understand this, or like what is the deal with the Emperor? Why does he hate the Harkonnens or why does he hate the Atreides and like what is the I forgot what they call the grouping of the great houses, the Landstrahd. Which is that's a term that's used in real world stuff.
Okay. All right.
But I don't see how that doesn't apply to this.
Because because they cram it all into a short amount of time. Like, all right. So what I'm saying is if they spread it out, and I realize if I'm not mistaken, that there was a Dune series at one point that I do not
Children
believe.
Children of Dune. I think that takes place after the events that happen in these movies.
Fair enough. So the point is that like I think if you spent more time getting these characters developed. And I will say this, they did a good job of like establishing who these characters were in a very quick amount of time, right? Like, you know, you got like, okay, Thanos is kind of like the religious general. You got, you know, Aquaman is like, oh, I'm connecting with the earth and the people and everything else. And, you know, even when, I appreciated there was like a smart way in which they story told where you saw something, you weren't sure what it was. And then they explained it to you later, as opposed to setting it up and then paying it off later in kind of a reverse of that. For example, when Aquaman went and he punched his chest before he went into that final fight, at first I thought he was like activating his shield. But then later when we see the blue eye people, whose names are the Fremen. When you see the Fremen do it, I mean the Fremen do it, the blue eyed people do it, then you're like, oh, okay, he's doing the action that he observed when he was with those people and really kind of connected to them.
Yeah, you see him do the House Atreides salute, right, where he holds the blade up and then puts it to his forehead, and then he does the Fremen like battle kind of
thing. Right, yeah, which is really cool. And then also there's another thing too, when the doctor lady, when she was out and she called the worm and she held up those hooks, you're like, oh my gosh, is she going to ride that thing? But then she ends up dying. And you're like, oh, and then you're kind of like, okay, well, what was she going to do? And well, then later on, you see they're riding on those worms and you're like, oh, she was going to ride the worm.
And that's something, you know, like this movie, I think only covered like the first 2/3 or the first half maybe of the book. Whereas Lynch's Dune was the whole book. And so you see all those kinds of things like paid off in that one, right? Like they teach Paul how to ride worms and stuff like that, which they're going to do in like, sorry, spoilers.
It's fine. I'll see it. Like I'm going to see it. Yeah. Don't spoil it too much for me. Like I would assume that, you know, Paul goes and saves the day.
I mean, he is space Jesus.
Yeah.
if that wasn't clear already enough, he is Space Jesus.
No, sure. that was clear. Although I thought it was interesting how they're like, so this is the stuff that I feel like you could do a deeper dive into, like the notion that he's space. Right. But they should have spent the time, I think, doing more into it. The notion that he's Space Jesus, but like in kind of a, like a crafted religion, you know what I mean? Like, is very fascinating. Like, I feel as though that was a religion that was crafted for a Space Jesus, and then they tried to make a Space Jesus. And so, and then it kind of plugs into kind of their political landscape. There's a lot going on there. And I think that could actually be expanded on if they had more time to really dive into it.
And they do a little bit more about the Bene Gesserit, like a little bit more exposition in Lynch's Dune. But
we're not watching Lynch's Dune. This is my point, though. Everybody says like, oh, but in all this additional material, like, no, the movie should be able to like speak for itself. And there's just too much. There's too much going on in this movie. More great TV talk up in just a few minutes. But first, we got to pay a few bills. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm being negative, but I feel like everybody's been so positive about this movie. And I'm like, it is just okay. Like, it's gorgeous, fantastic acting, incredible cast, but the movie is just meh. And I will that's disappointing.
The music's great, though. The music's great as well. The
music is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Denis, like, all of his movies have excellent soundtracks. I don't know. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Characters I liked died. Sorry, I keep on just piling on here. Well, but like, yeah. Everyone died. Like, that's the other Game of Thrones-esque aspect to this. Like, oh, Poe Dameron, perfect death. Oh, yeah, he's going to die. Like, oh, but Aquaman, you know, oh, and he's going to die. It's like, oh, but, you know, we're getting, like, General Thanos. Oh, but he's going to die. Like everybody's dying.
Oh, you talking about Gurney? No, Gurney.
I thought he died.
You don't see what happens to him. He runs off and he's like, Atreides with me, and they run towards the bad guys. You never see what happens to him.
Okay.
So, and that scene, that's spoilers. In Lynch's, so that's I mean, if you'd read the book or seen the other movie that came out, or if you'd seen the movie that came out before,
like, no, it's a remake of that movie. I don't need to see it for this to have to be good. Well, but I mean, keep going.
Yeah. Anyway, just a little bit of trivia there. Patrick Stewart plays Gurney in the David Lynch version.
Oh, fantastic.
Reason enough to watch it.
Yeah.
And during that scene where the Harkonnens attack, he carries a pug into battle. It's possibly the greatest thing in cinema history.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. So that's who this movie is for, right? Like, people who really liked that movie but wanted to see it done right.
I mean, I don't even think so. Like, I don't know. Maybe... I like weird movies. I like, you know, artsy movies and stuff like that. And so, you know, maybe that's what it is.
Who am I supposed to care about? Like, that's the other thing is I'm not really sure. Am I supposed to care about the kid? Because I don't care about the kid.
Why do you not? I mean, you're supposed to care about the Atreides in general. Like, for 80 years, the Harkonnens have basically been like exterminating all the Fremen. Like, this is exposition in the film.
No, I got that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they're terrible people. And then Paul, Leto, he comes in, or Leo, he comes in and he's like,
we are much better colonists than those last colonists.
Well, his whole thing is to build an alliance with them.
Yeah, no, I know. We are much better colonists than those last colonists.
Yes. Look, an overwhelming theme in this movie is that imperialism is bad. Okay.
Right. No, I got that. Yeah, no.
Okay, good, good.
It was a bit on the nose, Bell. Yeah.
Yes, imperialism is bad. It always is. And it always will be. Okay. Right. Even 10,000 years in the future, 8,000 years in the future, whenever this was. But like Leto, his whole point was, is like, there's no point in exploiting the Fremen. Like, they should be able to also reap the benefits of the spice that we pull out of here. The problem is that the Fremen, their culture is so different that there's nothing really that Leto or the Imperium can give them, except for like Oh gosh. Stilgar says, you know, the only thing you can give me is the water in your flesh.
Oh, know? By the way, that spitting scene was hilarious. That was great.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. But yeah, you know, like that's the thing, right? But so he realizes that, you know, we can't keep exploiting these people. It is my planet. It was given to me to steward. I am still an imperialist. But I want to create an alliance with these people, because these aren't like, you know, barbarian savages or whatever that we need to quell. These are people with, you know, a rich, power, right, that we want to exploit.
Right. Yeah. Those other guys, they were the bad colonists. We're the good colonists. We're going to be here and we're going to, like, you know, be cool with you. And they're like, okay, yeah, leave. And they're like, I mean, we're not going to do that. I'm like, all right, well, don't come into our land. I'm like, I can't do that. But, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
If duty calls, look, I might have to go into your lands. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so, you know, Paul, is Space Jesus. And so, you know, his whole thing is different. And, he's also got
magical powers because his mom's a witch.
Well, he's got political powers
because his dad was a baron or a duke.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not only is he, the Space Jesus of the Bene Gesserit, he's also the Space Jesus of the Fremen. And that could be because the Bene Gesserit, you know, were operating on that planet.
Set. Right. Exactly. They've been sowing the seeds of this religion to the far reaches of space, I suppose. So that when Space Jesus comes around, something. Wait, why? That's the other thing. I was like, okay, so he's the one, right? We got the special. He's the special. And I get it. This is, it's a played out trope, but it's a played out because all the other stories took it from this, right? Like, that's the concept here.
Yeah. I mean,
argument here.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that kind of concept's been around since before.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. The hero with 1,000 faces, of course. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. But point is that, so he's the special. Cool. But what is the special supposed to do? Like why the special? Like, what is it about the one, you know, in this? We knew in the Matrix, the one was going to, you know, free mankind. That was what the one was supposed to do. We knew.
Did you not hear Lady Jessica say the whole reason why he's special and important?
Was that the witch lady that tried to kill him?
No, Lady Jessica is his mom.
Oh, that's the witch lady that let the other woman try to kill him.
I mean, it's like, yeah, like queen mother of the Bene Gesserit.
Yeah, is, terrible mom. I got it. Yeah, I know. So her. Yeah.
It's religious orders and stuff like that. What are you gonna do?
How about not let them try to kill your son? Anyway, no, I missed it. What did you say?
It's not like Lady Jessica could have stopped her. That's the thing with the Bene Gesserit. They're extremely powerful.
Okay. So point is, what are they after? Yeah.
She tells him that they're trying, for centuries, they've been, you know, crossing bloodlines and stuff like that to try and make the ultimate human whose mind can bridge both space and time.
Space and time. I got that. Yep.
To bring us into a perfect future and a utopian kind of like future thing. That's what he's going
to
do.
So he's going to, because his mind can touch the future and the time. And I guess we saw that, right? Like when he was fighting, what's his face? We saw him kind of looking in the future, seeing what the fight was going to be. And so he was able to change the outcome of the fight for that reason, right?
Well, I think it was more so to illustrate to him, because what you hear the Bene Gesserit like in the background, kind of like talking, he's saying, Paul Atreides must die for the Quetzalcoatl or Haderach to be born. And then she later says, when you kill a man, you die. And so that's a picture of him dying, indicating that he's going to kill this man.
Okay, so he's not actually seeing the future. It's more of like symbolic prophecy.
Yes. Because Paul Atreides died when he killed the Fremen there.
So then he's not actually seeing into the future.
It's kind of like, that was kind of my question, because that was one of the things that I kind of came out of the movie wondering about, because in one of the visions that he has, the same man that he kills is the one who's like, I will teach you all these things about the desert, Paul. Right. Yeah. And you assume that happens in the future once he's been accepted by the Fremen, but that guy's clearly dead at the end of this movie. So, but earlier the Bene Gesserit also talk about laying down paths for him, right? Like, you know,
pause for a second, the Bene Gesserit are the witches.
Yes. The Bene Gesserit are the witches.
All right.
You know, when the queen mother's leaving on the ship, you know, and they're talking about how, like, oh, you know, in your arrogance, you thought that you could make the Kwisatz Haderach. And this is something that's from the book that you might not have known, but like Hold on, stop. So you know how she said, I commanded you only to make female children. And then the queen mother's like, in your arrogance, you decided to, you know, give birth to a male, thinking that you could bring about the Kwisatz Haderach.
You're trying to be Mary. You're trying to be the Mary in the Space Jesus story.
Yeah. Like that's all from the movie. Right. But the bit that I was going to say that's from the book is that the Bene Gesserit have the ability. They're all women. All of them are women. And they have the ability to control the sex of the child in the womb.
I figured based off of the context of the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, good, good.
I'm not totally stupid. I did get what was inferred.
Okay. Well, you know, I didn't know if maybe it was, yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm just clearing that up. Yeah. So she decided to have Space Jesus. They've been, you know, mixing bloodlines for centuries. And the reason why she had that male child was because it was so important to Leto.
And Leto was Poe?
Leto's Poe Dameron, yes.
Right, okay.
And so Lady Jessica...
It helps when you call them by the successful franchise names. the ones that are action-packed, interesting, and even the ones that don't end well are still a little bit more... Poe Dameron, I feel... Well, no, you know what? He did a great job with this character. I just forgot the character's name. Like, I really did like the dad character.
Yeah, no, he was wonderful.
All right, what was the character's name? I'm going to try to remember it.
Leto.
Leto, Jared Leto,
or just Duke Atreides.
Duke Atreides.
Yeah, because he's Duke Leto Atreides.
Oh, right, Duke. Right, yeah, the Duke. Absolutely,
he's the Duke. Yeah, the Duke. Yeah, and so you know, like she's referred to as a concubine. That's because you know, and this isn't really explained. I guess it is explained because Paul talks about it, where he says, you know, you guys control politics in the shadows and stuff because the Bene Gesserit, like. You know, they give one of their members to a household. And in this case, Lady Jessica was a concubine of Leto Atreides. And, you know, you would think concubine, probably not, you know, a healthy, wholesome relationship there. But in actuality, they loved each other.
Yeah, it was clear. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so because of that love, that's why she gave him a male heir, because that's you know, that's what he wanted. He's Duke Leto. He needs to have a kid, a male heir who can take the dukeship. I guess.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And that's why he's Space Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. And so okay.
Well, and that's also why that's also
no, I get
why,
like how he became Space Jesus. My point is, what is Space Jesus supposed to do? Like, what are we rooting for him to do? Like, first of all, they keep talking about the Emperor. We never actually see the Emperor in this. But apparently Emperor bad. Got it. I saw Star Wars. I know what that means. And then,
well, they also talk about that, right? Like, Baron Harkonnen talks about it where he says,
all right. And Baron Harkonnen was Skarsgård.
Yeah. That was Stellan Skarsgård.
Okay. He was great. By the way, I know I'm being flippant about a lot of this, but I do really want to emphasize that, like, I thought the performances were incredible.
Yeah.
And he, like, his little, what is it? Apocalypse Now thing he was doing with his head and everything was crazy.
Yeah.
So good.
But that's the thing, is like the voice of House Atreides is rising in the Landstrad, and the Emperor is a jealous man. And so
he's rising in the what now?
The Landstrad.
Okay. And that is the
it's not really explained in the movie.
Okay.
But the Landstrad is just a collection of all the great houses.
All right. Now let me be clear. I know people who know Dune are like getting frustrated. They're like, how can you not know this? Because if you don't know Dune before you came to see this movie, and watching this movie once is the only thing you have, you did not walk away with a lot of this information. Sorry. I'm looking forward to the response that we're going to get from this. My Twitter handle, by the way, is @ringthatbell. You can tweet in @ringthatbell.
Yeah, but I mean, well, they mentioned it a couple times, like the power of House Atreides is rising, and that you don't know what the Landstrad is, but you know that their power is rising, I think is enough. I mean, you picked up that, right? That they mentioned that a couple times about how powerful House Atreides is becoming. They have the most powerful army because they're trained by Gurney and Duncan Idaho, and apparently they're like space badasses, I guess. And so the Emperor's like, well, I don't want this dude to like come up in my house and be like, yo, I'm the Emperor now. So they all need to die. So like, yeah, I mean, is this just because I have more exposure to the source material?
Yes.
Is this?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know.
It's, I mean, it's impossible to say, right? Like, it's one of those things. I remember when Watchmen came out on HBO and I was like, this is absolutely incredible. But I was very curious if somebody who'd never read Watchmen would be able to actually enjoy that show just for what it is.
I think that first scene where the squids fell out of the sky, they'd be like, okay, what the hell's going on?
Right. But I mean, that's supposed to mean, because that was that, that question in and of itself, man, worked in two different capacities. Somebody who was not familiar with the franchise is thinking that, but even somebody who was familiar with the franchise is like, wait, what the hell is going on? Like,
well, they're familiar with the movie.
Oh, well, that's, I see what you're saying.
Like, yeah, the ending of the movie is like completely different. They don't even, you know, yeah. And I haven't finished Watchmen. I started watching it.
You haven't finished what? How far into it are you?
Wow, Christine, I watched the first episode, and after that, I was like,
oh, fortunately, with TV talk, man, we can do a binge. We are gonna revisit Watchmen as soon as you finish that one, man.
All right.
That is an episode and a half waiting to happen. Yes, well, that is a fantastic show.
And because this was the thing where it was like, you know, we watched the first episode, and she's like, yeah, it was cool. I didn't really get what was going on, and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I thought she had seen Watchmen. I was like, have you seen Watchmen? She's like, no, I haven't even seen it. I knew she hadn't read the graphic.
Well, and it's not even like, it's very specifically not a sequel to the movie.
Right. But it kind of explains the, like the context of the setting, I feel.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think it actually almost confuses it more than explains it because of the pretty, I mean, you'll see as you go along, but there's some pretty critical differences that fit. It fits perfectly, I would argue, as a sequel to the graphic novel. And not at all to the movie, but that's a different podcast. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Right now, let's bring it on home with Dune here. So overall, you liked this movie, obviously.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was beautiful. I thought the soundtrack was excellent. I thought the acting was awesome. I loved the different, like the, just the depth of like, cause there's so much there. Yes, you're right. There is a lot of stuff there, but like, I don't know. I picked up like on the whole, the bagpipe player for like the Atreides, like the Scottish kind of like ancestry stuff there.
They're yes.
Like the Tibetan throat singing for the Sardaukar and how like brutally violent they are because they're sitting there bleeding out their victims on this giant like platform and rubbing their blood on their head. And like the weird sadist nature of the Harkonnens and like the weird spider person that they made.
That thing was creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. The, like the cool space magic of the Bene Gesserit and, you know, the promise of space Jesus, the Quetzalcoatl, you know, and like giant sandworms and like all this stuff is, I just love sci-fi. Like I dig it up and, you know, I don't know everything that happens in the book. I know plot points from, you know, both movies and like reading stuff and things like that. But, I don't know, like I loved it. Like I thought it was wonderful.
I mean, this was a movie that was made for you. Like, I think that's very clear.
Yeah. Somebody who enjoys film. not your amusement park ride movies.
Oh my God. We're not, if that was, they wouldn't hire all the amusement park actors if we're going to go down that route. Like they knew what they were doing.
Let's be honest. Like, you know, Timothy Chalamet, Oscar Isaac, Stellan Skarsgård, Josh Brolin, like all these people are Dave Bautista even. Well, Dave Bautista has worked with Denis in the past anyway. Like
he didn't get really much to do in this movie.
He doesn't, but he'll have more of a role in the next one.
I figured. Okay. Huh.
But that's the thing is like, you know, like watch Blade Runner 2049, watch Dave Bautista's performance and like, tell me that he's not a stellar actor.
Oh no. I mean, like I have said it many times on this podcast. I think all the acting was incredible. And yeah, no, Dave Bautista, absolutely. He's grown a lot. I was reminded recently that I think his first acting gig was on Smallville.
Was it really?
Yeah, there was a scene. There was a season where phantoms got out of the phantom zone and like possessed people. And I can't remember if he was one of the phantoms that was one of the people that was possessed by a phantom, or if he was just straight up an alien. And I think it might have actually been an alien that ripped people's spines out and ate them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Smallville was a good show. All right, good deal. So this was really like that. That's what I kind of got from this. Is like this is a movie that is made for people that love Dune, and whether it was the former franchise or go ahead.
I would say love Dune, but I would say love science fiction and like big space opera kind of stuff.
I like science fiction and big space opera kind of stuff. I don't dislike art films. I like art films, but I mean, like that's the thing. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy is a big space opera like film franchise.
I wouldn't call it a space opera.
Yeah, it is. You got dad killing mom and tragedy and sisters torn apart by abusive, like, yeah, this is operatic stuff. He literally fights his dad, whose name is Ego. and a planet.
That's yeah.
Space opera. That's space opera action right there. No, this is good. This is good stuff. Look, I get it. This is it. It's Game of Thrones in space. That's what this is. It's not like people are like, oh, it's the new Star Wars. No, it's not the new Star Wars. It's like, oh, it's the new Lord of the Rings. This is not the new Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry. It's not. This is Game of Thrones in space. And that's a cool concept. But this, I would argue, isn't like a movie is not the right place to do this. I think if you made this into a season long, series on HBO, on Stars, on, someplace that's got the money to make this caliber of a product, I think this would have been vastly successful. Now, here's the thing. It's already been vastly successful. It's selling tickets. There's going to be a sequel. I'm going to go see the sequel, and maybe seeing the sequel will change my mind on everything. But I feel as though I don't really care about any of these characters. I love all the actors, and I think the acting was incredible, but I just don't care. I don't care about Paul. Like, Zendaya just like showed up every 5 seconds or so in like a vision. And his
family was slaughtered by the Harkonnens because the Emperor's a piece of crap.
Yeah. I mean,
I have no sympathy for that.
His dad
was betrayed by his doctor. Like, Dr. Yui sold out his whole family because of a promise made to Baron Harkonnen. Like, first off, that's extremely stupid.
Yeah. But I guess my point is I wasn't invested in Paul as a character before that happened. And so while that is terrible that happened to him, like, I don't feel like I know him enough for that to impact me on a personal level. You know what I mean? Like, I can hear about somebody's father dying, and that's a sad thing to hear about. But when it's my friend, somebody that I know, that's going to hit me a lot harder. And then obviously if it's my dad, then that's going to hit me even harder. So my point is that, like, they didn't bridge for me. Now, this is just for me. This is somebody who's coming in fresh, not familiar with Dune at all. They did not connect with like that character with me enough. I was like, I mean, he's a good kid. He's got a good heart. I get that. But I don't know. I didn't connect with him in that way. Maybe I'm the odd man out, man. Clearly I am from the reviews that I've seen. Everybody's like just praising this movie. And even anybody that like badmouthed it is like walking back their badmouth and be like, you know what? No, I see now that all the smart people think this movie is great. And so therefore I think it's great. Like, no, I'm standing by it. And look, I'm for real though. I want to hear y'all's thoughts. Feel free to add me at TV Talk FM is our Twitter handle. Let me hear all the reasons why I'm wrong. And for those of you who know I'm right, who are too scared to speak up, I did it for us. I did it for us that we're not smart enough to remember the Jesu factor, Michael, Leon, Paul, smartness. Duncan, egg situation.
But like, I'll be honest, like there's a lot of movies where I have to watch the movie multiple times to remember character names.
Yeah, for sure. But my point is that like, even like, I mean, yeah, that's fair.
So I don't think that's not like an uncommon thing. And I don't think you're stupid for not understanding the movie. It's a huge thing. Like it's a huge.
You've used the space Jesus name like 30 times already in this podcast. And I still can't. The Kwisatz Haderach. High tech, tack, tick, tack, tack.
Look, it's not as hard to say as Timothy Chalamet, so.
Fair point. All right, man. They're out of five, what are you giving this thing?
Oh, man. That's hard. That's hard because it's only part one. I loved the visuals of it. I love the acting. I love the music, the settings, like all of that stuff was really good. I think I'm going to have to give it a 4.5.
Okay. I'm giving it a 3. I think it's gorgeous. I think the acting is incredible. I mean, it's certainly a spectacle, but it's a spectacle I will probably never watch again. So
here's the thing. And here's why I agree with you partly. There was a lot of stuff to explain that wasn't explained that probably would have made, coming out of the movie, understanding it better. Right. But the thing is like, how do you make a movie with that much? What's the word?
World building?
No, dialogue in a movie. Exposition.
Oh, exposition. Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to make a movie with a lot of exposition and not make it a crappy movie.
This is true. I would argue, don't make a movie, make a series. That's what they should have done here.
Yeah. I mean, if they had the same budget and they could stretch this out into like,
Yes.
I would certainly watch that because Children of Dune, I don't know. I hear mixed reviews on that. So,
well, it probably did. I would imagine it didn't have this caliber of cast and this kind of money, like this kind of effects. And I mean, like, that's the thing in the modern era that we are in, where you've got like these Disney Plus shows and, with what we've seen with HBO, this production value needs to be like carry over into series where we can get that serialized storytelling that isn't kind of a contained story. And I think it works really well. Again, I point to Watchmen as a fantastic example, or Game of Thrones at its finest as a fantastic example. That's where Dune belongs. It does not belong in this movie, all right, in a movie format. And I think I would have enjoyed it far more had I had time to get to know some of these people beyond just there's Aquaman, there's Thanos, there's Poe, there's Zendaya, there's Skarsgård. Like, let me connect with these characters. I didn't do it. Other people may have, I didn't. So that's me. I give it, I'm giving it a solid meh from that standpoint. Give it a solid 3. And that's our take. But look, we want to hear from you. Head over to Twitter.com/TV Talk FM. In fact, if you go to TVTalk.fm, you'll find all the new links to all the new stuff because, of course, we are now TV Talk. We've got some wonderful things coming your way. We're super stoked about this new Cowboy Bebop show we're going to be covering. Of course, we got the next season of The Flash that we're looking forward to. And apparently, we're also going to be doing some Watchmen. So if you've got some shows that you want us to cover, if it's a former binge-worthy show, by all means, let us know. Twitter is going to be the best place to do it. Again, at TV Talk FM on Twitter. But all that information can be found at TVTalk.fm. Also, follow Bell at Ring That Bell. I'm not on Twitter, so you want to get to me, you got to go through the show. That's right. At me through the show. And there we go. Bell, I think that's going to do it for us for this week. Any all final right. thoughts before we go?
Read the book.
Hey, I think that's good. I think that's a good challenge. That's a good charge, a good challenge, especially those like me who maybe didn't necessarily connect with the movie, but you like the concept. Read a book. There we go. That's what we're about here on the TV Talk podcast. Go read a book.
You know, like the comic book movies and stuff we review, they're based on books. They're just books with pictures.
That's right. All right. Well, there you go. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry. We'll be back in a flash. I figured we'd keep the back in a flash thing as kind of an homage.
Yeah, that works.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand, And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.